Wonderful thing to belong to the Lord Jesus. There are a couple other things I would just like to pray for the Stangs. just a minute here. Sarah has gone to Sweden to attend a school there that is associated with Ian Thomas. if you know his work and the saving life of Christ, but he has different schools around the world where that emphasis that Christ is our life, and we need to pray for her. Also, I understand little Freddie is not feeling so well. You know, they struggled ahead. With the hurricane and everything down there, I'd just like to remember them as we ask the Lord to guide in the message here. And Father, I do thank you also. I thank you that Randy not only is concerned to coach his boys well, his guys well, but he's concerned about their souls. Pray for this upcoming year that you would really minister to him and through him in this whole area. Bless Sarah as she's decided to go and spend this time in Sweden in school there. We pray your protection for her, your blessing on her, and on the Smizers, Lord, that you would especially watch over little Freddie, and as they go through just what to do now after some of the storm and all, just guide them. Father, we thank you for the passage been read here this morning, and this whole matter of our privilege and responsibility to abide in you, Lord Jesus, just inviting you by your Spirit to cause to be said that we need to hear, and that we would spiritually get a hold of it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I know it seems like I've been saying this for a while, but leading up to our scripture memory service tonight, seems like it's a long time we've been working on this one, but Mary and I have been working on John 15, at least a part of it here, that we want to share. And obviously, as we're engaged with this passage, I've been thinking about the different privilege that we have, but also the responsibility. And you come away from it understanding that when you received Christ, God left you here with a purpose. God left you here with a purpose to let Jesus minister through you. As we find in his picture here of the vine and the branch as a branch. In John 14, Jesus is alerting his own that have been walking with him and depending on him and learning from him, that it's going to change. He's letting them know, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you so one day you'll be with me forever there. But it's going to be different. And in John 14, he just explains that he is going to ask the Father, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. But in that, he says in verse 18 of 14, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. You're going to experience from Pentecost on a whole different relationship that physically, I'm not going to be with you, but I'm going to live in you and live through you. And I want to go down just to that verse I've spoken, referred to it before, but in verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is 14:12, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also, and greater work than these, because I go to unto my Father. And I think what John 15 is the outworking of what he's describing there. kind of interesting. I appreciate on the front of the bulletin part of Isaiah 61, and they kind of jump over some verses there. But Jesus quoted that, you know, in Luke 4, that Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he shared different kinds of ministry that he would have in declaring the gospel, letting people know that there is a way to be right with God through trusting what he did on the what he will do and what he did on the cross to open or to heal broken hearts, to open blind eyes, to declare liberty to captives, to set at liberty those that are bruised or broken by trauma. And then it goes on to say to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. And so that's what Jesus was doing while he was here. And God, the Father's plan did not stop. But now, as you see in John 15, he's going to, that the Lord Jesus will do through his believers same things he's been doing. But it's going to be a little different because it's going to be doing through weak instruments, which in John 15 we'll call branches. He is not going to leave us without comfort, as he told his own, but I'm going to come and I'm going to live in you and I'm going to live through you. This, as I mentioned, I see the outworking of what he said there, that that work would still be being done. An earthly picture, or an earthy picture of a spiritual reality, that those born again believing in what Jesus did for them become a branch on the vine. And I just, as I thought about that, I was still 9 going on 10 when I received Christ as Savior. And I didn't know John 15 very much, but I guess at that time you become a little branch. And God has a purpose to work through you and to accomplish his work. And so this matter of abiding, I've just a few things that I would say. It means to dwell with, to abide in your home. You stay there, you live there, you dwell there, you fellowship with Jesus, you trust in, you depend on, you're available to allow Jesus to work through you and bear fruit. And it's not your fruit, it's his fruit, because it's his doing. I've said this before, and it's been pretty intense lately to be led into situations where God is restoring those that have been broken and bruised. And I guess the way I see it, it's almost like having a front row seat and watching what Jesus is doing. And I was sitting there thinking, and I didn't put this in my notes, about one of the aspects of abiding, but one thing I realized that happens is that when he is working through you to help somebody or whatever it is, you can feel what's on his heart, his compassion. That's not just so naturally in us, but his strong desire to see restoration. And so I just want to share some of the things that have occurred to me, and I looked through this passage, and the first one I've wrestled with a while, and I want to share where I believe I'm on that, because the first one is a warning. Jesus begins by saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He tends it. And you go through John 15, you see the thing that's on the Father's heart, above everything else, he wants fruit. He's not so concerned about how the branch looks. He wants fruit. He wants more fruit. And so he says two things here in verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. I thought, well, Lord, what's that mean? He speaks about it again in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I've tried to read what some other people think, and they somehow think that he's talking about that they aren't Christians at all. It's maybe like Judas or something, that he was close. But as I think about the branch or the vine and the branch, he's talking about a living organism here that I believe when you trust Christ, you are in his picture, you become a branch on the vine. But it's a warning about the need to continue to abide. And as I've thought about it, I think what he is saying here, that he's not going to let branches that have no fruit continue to take up their place on the vine. I do not believe he's talking about losing salvation. Several things have come to mind on that. One is Paul's word about Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10. Timothy said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Philippi. Then I think of another in 1 Corinthians 9:27, where he's talking about running the race and finishing the race. And he says, I keep my body under, I discipline myself that after I've prayed or ministered to others, that I myself would not be a castaway, that I would be disqualified. And I think we always need to realize that there is the danger of somehow getting tripped up and going in another direction and not giving your heart and your life and your time to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. I also thought back in 1 Corinthians 3, and this has been helpful to me, he talks about our works being judged. And this is the way he says it here. He says, this is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build on any other foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's works what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God's purpose is that we as Christians are in harmony with the Lord Jesus, we walk with him, we trust him, and we allow him to do through our lives what he wants to do. And so there is a warning here to continue to abide for the Father's sake, for the fruit that he wants. And I just share that because every time we quote that, I have to think, now, Lord, what exactly happens here? I don't think it's loss of salvation, but it's disqualification. Demas going off, not serving with. My roommate, Daryl Anderson, home with the Lord now, he'd talk about that passage. He said, I wonder if he read in the paper about what Paul was doing and how God was using him, and it did something in his heart. But anyway, it's a warning to keep abiding, keep walking with the Lord, keep trusting in him. The second thing I'd say, it's a matter of abiding is allowing Jesus to work through us what's on his heart, that there will be fruit. I want to read two verses again. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's not something that itself can do except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except in ye abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And I just think it's so very important to continue in, if God uses your life, if God blesses your life, to stay in a mindset that it's His doing. I think there are those that have been shipwrecked in the ministry because they were so successful and it was easy for them to start looking at their own life. You're just a branch. Always stay alert that you're just a branch and the fruit is His. And there's so many different ways that God will produce fruit. I was just thinking about the passage in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul says, "He that spoke light into existence has shined light into our hearts." That light shines out of Jesus Christ, and sometimes you have no idea how your life is going to impact others and how it's going to encourage others or how it's going to challenge them. And he goes on to say, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us." And I think that has a real implication in this matter of abiding, that God will use whatever He's doing as you allow Him to work through you in healing broken hearts, encouraging others on, challenging them to live what they see in your life, and all the ways that God might want to use you. The third thing I'd say is the reality of pruning. In verse 2, he says there's two things. If it's not bearing fruit, he'll remove the branch. If it is bearing fruit, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He prunes it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. God would very possibly do some things you would never choose to have done with your life because He does not want you to become too branchy. And I was reading just earlier this week in the streams in the desert of this man that was hired to do this vineyard thing, and they weren't doing well. And he said, "If you're going to hire me, I'm going to cut it right down to the stalk." And it was 2 years. But after 2 years, there was just such an abundance of grapes. Father knows what it takes. And to me, that's why it's important that Mary and I, every day, one of the things is to declare to God, "We accept whatever You ordain for us today." We would not choose pruning in ourselves, but the Father knows what is needed. I've told you this story before, but I appreciate hearing it from Pastor Landis, that he had wonderful looking tomato plants over there in Nickerson. Told his neighbor, "I don't know what's wrong, there's no tomatoes." He said, "I'll take care of it." The next morning he looked, and the guy has, I don't know if he had a 2x4 or what, but he was just bashing those plants and breaking off branches and stuff. And he said, "What are you doing?" "I'm fixing your tomatoes." And he said, "I had a wonderful crop that came on after that." Pruning is not something that we ourselves will do, but it's the Father's work, and we need to know He wants more fruit. It just comes down to that. The fourth thing, I think, is the if I can read my writing. Yes, the implication on right praying. And I've had to think about that because Jesus made it plain here in verse 7. "If you abide in Me," that's one, "My words abide in you," two, "you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." That's, to me, is a prescription of how to be sure that you are praying rightful praying. If you abide in Him, you soon have a sense of what's on His heart, what He wants to do. And the Holy Spirit can help you as well in that, but also that "My word is in you," so you know what the directives of the Word of God. And that's a wonderful prescription for right kind of praying. Abide in Him, let His words abide in you, and that's His statement, as "you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." doesn't mean it's always going to happen immediately, of course, but it's going to be right praying that's going to be answered. In verse 9 and 10, he talks about his love. As a father had loved me, he said, so have I loved you. And he shares this with his own, but I think you know that later on, when he prays in John 17, I pray not only for these, but I pray for all those that will believe through their word. And we're right there in John 17 as you've trusted Jesus Christ. And so he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look what he's saying here, that you're going to experience, as you abide in him, you're going to experience his love for you. That he has a heart for you and a heart to work through you. Since I'm a husband, there's such a specific command given there about loving in Ephesians 5 that I think is so important for us as husbands, and I'm just picking on husbands today, but not picking on, instructing from God's word. Let me just read it for you here. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We're to love each other, and he gives that command. And if you keep my commands, you're going to know the Father's love. Very, very important admonition. And God help us as husbands to do that. Sixthly, to experience his joy. And I think when I did a message on this not too long ago, in verse 11, it's so interesting. Jesus tells these things and he often then says why he told them. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So this is a path to joy in your life. And I think the thing that comes about in this whole matter of joy is to see what God is doing. The Lord said that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the others that stay in the fold. There's joy over the effect of what Jesus has done and paid for being realized. And I've said before, but I just sense that too, that part of the joy that was on Jesus, not only that he would be home with the Father, that he would have conquered Satan, that he would have opened the door to salvation, but every time I see somebody that got healed or is free, it's got to be part of the joy that was on him to endure the cross, despising the shame, to be able to pay the price. And the joy of Satan being defeated. Said, I've shared these things for that purpose, that you might have joy, that my joy would be with you and that your joy would remain. And then I wanted to just go to verse 14 through 16 for a moment. The blessing of our relationship with him to say, I'm not going to call you a servant. I'm going to call you a friend. And the other thing is, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So I think it's really important. Let me read those verses and then we'll close with that. But verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. I'm back up to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I guess if there's one overriding thing about the vine and the branches, is the desire, the Father's desire for fruit. And he wants to use you. And whatever, you may not be a spectacular branch. In fact, no branch is supposed to be spectacular, I don't think. It's there to allow the life of Jesus' power to flow through it so that there'll be fruit. His command is, abide in me. I'll abide in you. And there will be fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Lord Jesus, I want to just thank you for explaining the relationship that we have to you after you went home to heaven. In a real way, you're at the Father's right hand. You're interceding and praying for us and praying for ever-living to pray. But you also have come to live in the person of your Spirit in the life of the believer and to live through us in touching the world around us, people around us, our families, our loved ones, those you bring into our lives so that there will be fruit. I guess my prayer, Heavenly Father, is give me a bigger heart for fruit. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price so that there can be fruit. I pray that you would do that in a special way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The song I'd like us to sing, it's page 618. We'll just, if you'd stand, we'll just... I want us to sing two verses, verse 1 and verse 4. I am his, he is mine. Part of the definition of abiding. 618. Father, I thank you today from brothers and sisters in Christ here. And Lord, you have different plans and purposes and ways you want to use us. But I pray that we would abide, that we would live in dependence, that we would be available for you to move through us and accomplish through us the fruit that's on your heart, Father. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.